Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our current series, Christ, the Rock of Ages. So many times in the Scripture, God is referred to under the figure of a rock. And we have covered many of those points already, and we have some to cover yet, where Christ is pictured as the Rock of Ages. Today we wish to picture Christ as the Rock of Israel and the Rock of the Church, those two great groups, two great congregations of people, Israel in the Old Testament and the Church in the New Testament, composed of Jew and Gentile alike. Now today we wish to refer to, first of all, to the Lord Jesus as being the Rock of Israel, and then later in the broadcast, the Rock of the Church. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, David's last words were these. Now, this is not a caption of the scripture that I'm going to read. I'm going to read the scriptures themselves. Here it is, 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, The Rock of Israel spake to me," and rock here is capitalized, it applies to deity, "The Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even as a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant." These are the last words of David. You know, the last words of a person are highly valued. We attach much significance to them. And the scripture says, these are the last words of David. And this is simply not a caption to the chapter. It's part of the scripture. Now, what does David have to say? He is looking forward. David is spoken of in the book of Acts as a prophet. And he's looking forward to when the Rock of Israel will come to reign in the millennial day. Did you notice that, please? In verse 4, "And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun ariseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain." Malachi speaks him as the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. This is the beginning of the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. He's coming soon to reign. Reign over this earth, literally. As he left a literal man, he will come back a literal man. As he left from the Mount of Olives, he will come back to the Mount of Olives. And he will establish his kingdom on this earth. This earth is not done with Christ. They sent him out of this world on a cross. But he's coming in glory. David speaks of that day. And he speaks of the Rock of Israel as the assurance of that coming day. I love this. The significance of it, the permanency of a rock, the indestructibility of a rock, the glory of a rock, the value of a rock, it's all attributed to God. And David is speaking in the fondness of his heart for that millennial day when his own prophecy is going to be fulfilled, that Christ would come of the tribe of Judah, his own line, in his own line, if you please, and reign over this world. Now, he speaks of that, the brightness of that day, and oh, the beautiful terms. I can almost breathe the cool, fresh air of that millennial morn when he says, "And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass shining out of the earth by clear shining after the rain." Oh, what a day that's going to be. And then David has to say, "Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. David's history was clouded in so many different ways, but there's a morning coming when one of the sons of David, and he's called the son of David in the New Testament, is going to reign over this earth, and the rock of Israel is going to see to it. This is the permanency of this prophecy, the permanency of the promises of God. Christ is going to rule over this world. We better be prepared for that day, because I feel the coming of the Lord, which will rapture away his saints, is very, very soon. It's imminent. I think it's the next thing on the prophetic program, the coming again of our Lord Jesus. Then the great tribulation, then Christ coming literally, physically, in the presence of his people as the light shining, as the lightning rather, the Lord uses these words himself, as the lightning shining out of the east to the west, he's going to come to reign on this world. May God haste the day. Now let's refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as being the rock of the church, the second great congregation, the congregation of the New Testament, composed of Jew and Gentile alike. We read in the 16th chapter of Matthew, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the rock. This is interesting. There's a kind of a veiled play on words here in this verse. The Lord Jesus says to Peter, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter." Now the word Peter comes from the Greek petros, which means a pebble, a stone. But then when he goes on, "And upon this rock I will build my church," the word there is petra, not petros, but petra, an underlying rock of foundation. Upon this rock, he's referring to himself, the rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then he goes on to say to Peter, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Not the keys to the church, the kingdom of heaven. This is the sphere of profession. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that Jesus was the Christ. Now just a moment, please. What does this mean? "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Does that mean that Peter is standing at the door of heaven and entering, letting those enter in who deserve to be there? No, there are many humorous stories told about Peter waiting at that gate. Doesn't mean that at all. A key unlocks a door, and Peter was given the key to unlock the door of faith to the Gentiles and to the Jews first, really. Now, in the book of Acts, Peter is the preacher on the day of Pentecost, and his message was so powerful, so supported by the Spirit of God, that 3,000 people were saved on that memorable day, the day of Pentecost. Later now, he uses the same keys, he uses the same gospel for the Gentiles in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, and yet he was a devout proselyte to the Jewish nation. He believed in the Lord, but he did not have full knowledge of who Christ was. God sent Peter, in no uncertain terms, to that place to speak to Cornelius and to give him the gospel. He used the keys again to unlock a door. That's what keys are for, to unlock a door. He unlocked the door of faith to the Jews, Acts chapter 2, and he unlocked the door of faith to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. Peter defends this himself in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. We read there of the great council at Jerusalem. When the door of faith was opened to the Gentiles, the question was raised. Should they be made to keep the law like the Jews, and they were still doing it? In the 15th chapter of Acts, the Jewish people were still observing the law. Peter says no. Listen to his words. And when there was much disputing at this council or conference in the 15th chapter of Acts, they were disputing they should be put under the law. Peter says no. They got saved by hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God came on them. They didn't hear a thing about the law. There's no obligation to the law. Why should we put a yoke upon them that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear? They got saved simply believing that Christ died for their sins on the cross. They got saved by putting their personal faith into the fact that God loved them and he gave his son to die for them. Now, why put them under the law? Peter says we can hardly stand it ourselves. And he says here, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's talking about those keys. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Peter had used the keys as Christ had invested him with that honor and with that responsibility. Now, the church is a glorious subject, and we cannot do it any kind of justice. But he's the rock of the church. The church is founded upon Christ, and Christ said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is being developed today. God is doing his greatest work in the world today. He's forming that church. And everyone who believes that Jesus Christ died for him on the cross, and just out of love to him, takes him as their own personal Savior, just telling him, Lord, I want you. You wanted me so bad you died for me. Now I want you. Everyone who believes that becomes a part of that church. And the gates of hell and hell itself cannot stop the formation of that church. The church is founded upon Christ. Israel is founded upon Christ. And they shall reap their due rewards, the prophecies that have been placed upon them in coming days. Our Father, we do thank you today for the rock of ages, Christ the Lord Jesus, our blessed hope. In his name, amen.